The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
An agreement has been reached, hallelujah, at long last, between the HSE and health unions on the introduction of an extended working day and week. The agreement is an attempt to free up beds. It's going to be extending care to patients outside of those traditional 9 to 5, and people such as consultants, social workers, therapists and admin staff will join their nursing colleagues to be rostered over 7 days as opposed to 5. So I'm interested as to how this is going to play out in practical terms. On the line, Kevin Figgis, who's Divisional Head of SIP2's Health Division. We'll come to him in just a moment. But in studio with me now, Matthew Sadlier, who's Consultant Psychiatrist and Chair of the IMO's Consultants Committee. If you were to believe the propaganda that's out there, you guys have been dragging your heels on this forever and a day. Why all of a sudden, Matthew, are you going to work 7-7 as opposed to 5-7?
Well, as a consultant, I already work 7-7, and all consultants work 7-7.
Not all of them.
Well, we all do. We all do on-call that involves covering over the weekend, and most people who are on-call, it can be a bit specialty-dependent, there's no doubt about that. But we, you know, I'm in when I'm in on-call at the weekends. My colleagues are in when they're in at the weekends, and that's to provide unscheduled care or emergency care.
Yeah, but now, not routine care.
Yeah, so what they're talking about here is extending routine care, outpatients, diagnostics, into the weekend. But the problem with that, what we've always said, is that that needs a whole of hospital response. It needs doctors, nurses, health and social care professionals, administration, and all the other people working in the hospital to work with the doctors to support them to run outpatient clinics, to use diagnostic equipment and these things. Now, the question is, why are we doing this? And the question other is, will this be productive and will this be effective? I know previously when people have tried to run clinics out of hours at the weekend, the patients spoke with their feet and weren't overly as keen on taking appointments out of hours as they were during midweek. But obviously it will suit some patients and it will suit some groups. So that's the first bit of it. The second bit of it is, if you don't have a whole hospital response, you will not have efficiencies and effective productivity. But if you look across the water to the UK, if you look at the type of hospital service that the minister has been talking about, this happens, you know, where you have a 24/7 hospital. This happens in hospitals that are 1,200 or 1,400 beds. You know, the biggest hospital in Ireland doesn't even come to about half of that. Where you have, with those big, big hospitals, you have the weight of staff, you have the weight of numbers.
Yeah, you've got 800 or 900 beds is our max in some of the bigger teaching hospitals in Dublin and CUH.
That's if you include some of the rehab beds, and in CUH you're including maternity services and you're including the psychiatry wing and you're including a lot of other bits into that. But this is, and this is one of the problems, that you need the weight of staff. If you've only four, you know, specialists in an area within your hospital, you can't provide 24/7 cover, no matter what you do.
To be fair, we could have 200 consultants right now who'd be willing to work weekends. You can't do it unless they have the support staff in place. And perhaps this is what some of this is leading to, Kevin Figgis, is that, you know, we need the whole of the hospital to keep going over the weekend, not just the consultants and the nurses.
I think the agreement ultimately provides a mechanism whereby, you know, where it is deemed that an expanded service is required, there's now a mechanism to provide that for all of the grades that are identified. But it is important to highlight that, you know, it is up to the management to really present that plan as to what will be required, but also how they plan on doing it. Because, like, if you've grades that have been rostered on a 9 to 5, they've very probably been staffed on a 9 to 5, and most grades in the health service are carrying deficits. So the reality is that moving to Monday to Saturday is increasing the operating hours by 1/3. Moving from Monday to Sunday 8 to 8 is doubling those operating hours. So it is important that the management will outline not only where they believe it should happen, but also how they believe it can be provided safely.
Are you putting a caveat in there, Kevin, going, we'll agree to it, but we have to see the colour of management's plans before we sign up to it?
No. The document states that management should present a plan in the first instance.
And if you don't like the plan?
Well, no. The plan would be presented locally. So the document that's been agreed is the national agreement on principles that for the rollout of an expanded service. And as part of that plan, so I'm quoting from the document, it states that the management will present a plan to the staff locally and set out what they are seeking and how it will be provided.
Can I, Kevin, say that as a punter, right, and as the people who are listening to the radio right now, I'm not getting a warm, huggy feeling off the way you're talking. It's like, well, they're saying they're going to do it.
But that's not the case, because I think everybody wants a service to be fair. I think they want the service to be provided safely. I don't think anybody wants an unsafe service. So we're simply stating, I mean, we are the ones that have reached the agreement on these principles. And the attempt here is to make sure that services can be expanded where they're required, resources are used where they're needed, safely.
Yeah.
And I think that everybody would sign up to that.
Matthew, the other side of this is an Irish solution to an Irish problem, if I could put it that way. It is welcome. You cannot stop a fully functioning level 3 hospital at the weekends and expect it to begin on Monday again as if nothing happened. But how much of this is down to the fact that we're not really adding new beds to the system and we're trying to maximise the use of the beds that we have now, when probably a more effective solution would be just adding more inpatient beds?
Well, I think ultimately you can do two things at the same time. So you're 100% right. We need more beds. We need more infrastructure within our hospital system. We need more staff, as your last guest said, within our hospital system. But also, it has to be that there's huge numbers of vacancies of staff. So the HSE has created roles and are very happy to pay salaries to hundreds of jobs.
But they're taking a long time to fill them, aren't they?
Well, that's because there's nobody out there. They put jobs to the market and we get no applications. And it must be remembered, 65% of all health professionals working in the Irish Health Service graduated abroad or are coming from abroad. And we are a total international outlier in this. So we are not able to retain our own staff that graduate here. We are recruiting people from abroad who have offered huge benefit to the system. But if we are going to compete, we're going to be competitive in our jobs that we offer if we're going to recruit staff. So this concept of kind of field of dream stuff that if you build it, they will come, won't always happen.
The point is we're not building it. We're stretching.
We're suggesting we're going to do this stuff. But we do need more beds. We need more diagnostics. We need to have a plan. Somebody needs to sit down and say, we did it once in 2003 with the Hanley report, where we said, this is what we need. 13 hospitals in the country. We still have 40 something hospitals in the country. And you knew the political fallout from the Hanley report, where they suggested consolidating hospitals. And we still have the, you know, in Sláinte Care, where it's everybody can have what you want. You can have whatever small unit in the country and we'll staff it up to the eyeballs, but we know that's not possible. We know that we can't do what we're doing.
There's a text in here that I'm going to read because it perhaps goes to this point that you're making. I am the mother of a non-consultant hospital doctor who's absolutely broken, understaffed, overworked, and shifts always last longer than scheduled, up to 2 hours late. They've no life. That consultant is speaking the truth, but people blame the doctors the whole time. And this is a common theme. And it also applies to nurses, by the way. It also applies to anyone who is on the front line. That we expect too much of them. The system is not designed to make them feel as if they should perform to the best of their ability. Why can't we get that right?
Because we haven't had the political will to make the choices to do that. We haven't had the political will to create the hospitals that can offer across the country a national high quality standard in every part of the country. As I said to you, we have this extended rostering. You do that in the big hospitals like CUH or the Mater or James's. That is possible. You know, it might take a bit of extra staff, might be a bit of organising, but we have the weight and numbers in the big hospitals. This is not going to be possible in your smaller hospitals around the country. I won't name any one individual, so I don't want anyone to get nervous.
Let's just say the level 3 hospitals, the ones where if you have a car crash, you're going to be sent to because they've got the facilities in place. The smaller regional hospitals are not going to benefit to the same degree. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's going to be harder to do it. If you only have 4 surgeons in your building, you're not going to be able to roster them 24/7. You're not going to be able to roster them over a 7-day period of time. And we currently, as your last guest said, we staff our hospitals to work 5 days a week. If you're now going to work 6 days a week, that's an increase in your staffing of 20%. You're increasing your staffing another 20% to go to 7 days a week. Now, you either have to increase staffing or consolidate hospitals, but one of those two choices are going to have to be made if, as the minister says, they want these 24/7 hospitals that operate where you can go in, where you have, you know, MRI scanning and CT scanning going all day, all night, where you have an emergency department staffed with, you know, consultant staff and senior staff all day, all night. You know, you need to have 20, 30
you need more
consultants in the building to offer those rosters.
On that point, Kevin Figgis, one listener here says, same number of staff, current staff deficits, extra working hours. How's that going to work? Can you see it working?
No, so that's the key challenge. And that's the challenge for management, because a 9 to 5 Monday to Friday is a 40-hour working week. Moving people 8 to 8 Monday to Friday and then including a Saturday is moving it to 60 hours, which is an increase of a third. You then include Sunday 12 hours and you're actually doubling those operating hours. So the challenge for management, what the unions have done is agreed the principles of extended day working. So we've been challenged in the past about holding services back and all of that stuff. Well, we've stepped forward here. We've agreed the principles for extended day working, but the staff have to be supported. There has to be enough people on the ground to work in a safe environment that will ultimately provide that service to those people where it's needed. I don't believe it's intended that there'll be an extended service in every location or indeed in every service in every location.
Okay.
But where they identify that they do need it, they need to back the staff, particularly if they've been staffed on a 9 to 5 model and they're carrying deficits.
I think it's unbelievably frustrating that you have major teaching hospitals in this country whose scanning departments shut down because it's a Saturday and a Sunday. And they do. And it's very, I've seen it and I've been frustrated by it when you're passing by.
Well, can I just say to you on that? Because that's not the case. I mean, diagnostic staff are rostered 7 days a week. They work 24 hours a day.
But the main diagnostic centres are closed. They're open in the ED, but not in the main centre.
No, but that's not the case. Because ED, diagnostic departments in the big hospitals will have regular X-ray working. They will have CT working. And they are the main scans.
As good on a Saturday as it is on a Wednesday?
Absolutely. The data shows that they are as busy on a Saturday and a Sunday as they are Monday to Friday. So that is a false misnomer to suggest that, you know, diagnostic equipment is down, whatever.
But the key... My poor eyes, I must get my eyes checked next time I'm passing through.
But can I say this to you? Radiographers are an example that in 2012, they agreed an extended working day, Monday to Friday in 2012, 13 years ago. They agreed an extended working day to open their departments. And it failed because they weren't supported by bringing in the extra staff. And what happened instead was that gaps were created. So where staff were working 9 to 5, they were now coming in at 12 to 8, or they were coming in from 8 until 4. There was gaps being created, and then they ultimately couldn't staff it because the agency didn't employ anybody.
Who falls through the gaps? The patient falls through the gaps.
Well, no, absolutely, and the staff don't want that.
One question that's here, and I suppose, Matthew, you're well-placed to answer, is this going to be on a voluntary basis? One listener is asking, is it going to matter much if it's voluntary?
Well, the circular says initially they're going to look for staff who wish to volunteer. And look, we've had this within our own organisation that there are staff who prefer to work the non-traditional hours.
But in the public, you know, in the public only contracts that about 60% of consultants run, you kind of have to work weekends. It's not voluntary for you, is it?
Well, you're allowed to be rostered, absolutely. And it depends on your specialty. But it's like what your last guest said, though. There's no point rostering, you know, there's no point rostering a surgeon to work and do a list on a Saturday if you don't have the theatre nurses, if you don't have the portering, if you don't have the cleaning staff that can clean the theatre between cases, if you don't have the theatre nurses that can work, if you don't have the administration that can manage the details of one patient to the next. So it is the whole of hospital response that is necessary. But as I say, we have had staff who are keen to work in extended working days or work in non-traditional hours. That suits some people's lifestyles. But the problem is you can't do it as one staff group. And your last guest was 100% right on radiographers. I mean, the reason these diagnostic equipments are not open at extended working days and weekend is you need more radiographers to run them over more hours. Mm. If you're going to run them over 40 hours, you need more staff if you're going to run the same number of scanners. Otherwise, all you're doing is robbing Peter to pay Paul and you're just doing the same level of activity. And what we don't want to see is performative ideology where the government says that, oh, we're rostering people at the weekend, but ultimately we're achieving no benefit.
What one listener is saying, this is promoting exhaustion. And looking at the other messages that are coming in, a lot of them from healthcare professionals, look, you can argue that they have a bit of a vested interest, it's their area, but also they have a little bit more knowledge about the public, about what happens in these hospitals, is that there's a lot more concern out there than there is celebration that this is after being signed. But we will no doubt return to it at some stage in the future. Professor Matthew Sadlier, consultant psychiatrist and chair of the IMO's Consultants Committee, and Kevin Figgis, divisional head of SIP2's Health Division. Thank you very much for joining us on The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.